This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, it's Hump Day. And yes, I know about the elections last night. Trust me, I'm about to fire hose all the election talk you can possibly handle, and don't worry, it's not going to be all the stuff you've heard all day. Well, in this precinct, the name of it, but we're not doing that. We're going to have just a talk. It'll probably make you feel better. Some may make you feel worse. Probably make you feel better about last night. We will get to that. That is going to dominate a while on the show. I give you my word, it will not be the entire show. In fact, I have two totally off-the-wall guests tonight because I thought it would be a good night to break things up a little bit. We have a guy who's going to talk about those Chinese-Russian honeypot spies that are coming over here. That's a little James Bond intrigue. And I have someone coming up in the last hour. He has a different view of economics and what drives progress. Totally fascinating. Either way, we're going to go in and out and up and down. It's going to be all over the place on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's go ahead and begin. The elections last night. Elections in California. Elections in Texas. Elections in South Carolina, Georgia, in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, in New York City. And no, contrary to everything you've been reading today, they didn't all go against us, and we'll get to some of that good news. But let's be honest, we don't have to try to put a smiley face on an ugly situation. It was a bad night. It didn't go the way we wanted, put it that way. We dreamed that we would wake up this morning and the Republican governor in New Jersey. Maybe Mam Donnie would somehow lose in New York City. California would strike down Prop 50. We hoped that Winsome Earl Sears would be governor of Virginia. We didn't get any of that. In fact, it was actually worse than that if you dig down through the headlines, get past the headlines. Bucks County, Pennsylvania didn't go our way. Virginia had a bunch of Republicans, even long-established Republicans, wiped out of their legislature. It's the delegates, but I'm just going to call their legislature. Oh, my gosh. It's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. Pause. Let me say this before we go anywhere else on the show. And longtime listeners probably already know what I'm going to say because I will say it to you before and after every single election. We are, it's a good way I can put this, we are at the start of World War II. The stakes are obviously hugely important. We're facing the Japanese Empire. We're facing the Nazis. We have to win this war, so I'm not minimizing the stakes. However, if the army shows up in North Africa and gets its teeth kicked in by Rommel, the war is not lost. That's ridiculous. This war is going to go on for a very long time. And there will be battles fought here and battles fought there. And it's going to ebb, but it's going to flow. We are going to win so many battles. And we are going to lose so many battles. We are in a battle for the future of the United States of America. I take that back. We're in a war. This is a cultural war, a political war, a war to decide who is going to make the choices for this country. Which direction is this country going to go? Towards the light or towards the dark? Are your children and their children and their children, are they going to have some semblance of the country you grew up in? Or is it going to be some disastrous, demonic, communist hellhole? I know the stakes are extremely high, but I also know this. One bad night doesn't lose the war. One good night doesn't win it. I told you this after Trump won in November, and we had the best night, and we were all happy the next day, myself included. I was borderline giddy on the radio. You remember, oh my gosh, we won, we did it! And it was amazing, and it was great, and it was a big, important battle. We didn't save America that night. We won a very important battle. We didn't win the war. And last night, we took it on the chin. We did. We're going to talk about that in more depth. We're going to go from zooming out to zooming in. We took it on the chin last night. Didn't go our way. Not ideal. Wished we would have won. We didn't lose the war last night. We didn't win the war in November. We didn't lose the war this November. All right. We didn't win the war last November, I mean. And we didn't lose it this November. This is the way politics goes. This is the way elections go. There are some mornings after an election where we're going to get up and pat our buddy on the back, and we're going to tell our wife, we're going to Red Lobster tonight to celebrate. And then there are days we wake up like today where we feel, and I know you maybe feel like this right now. Maybe you're in New Jersey. Maybe you're listening on WOR in New York City. Maybe you're in Virginia, or maybe you're in California. Maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, I don't want to hear anything good. All is lost. That's what it feels like today. We march forward, all right? All is not lost, I promise. Yeah, and by the way, we do have big problems, and I'm going to get to those too. Please don't think this is going to be a three-hour show tonight of patting everybody on the butt and telling them it's fine. It's really not going to be that, I promise. But that's the zoom out. Here's another zoom out thing. In life, we all want some control. A lot of people, like me, we want maximum control. I want to control it all. I want to control not just my car. I want to control every other driver on the road. I want to control what this person does, what that person says. I want to control this. I'm one of those guys. Just let me control everything. And of course, me, because of course I know it all. I will fix it all. I'm one of those guys. But human beings, all of us, we want some level of control. And part of life is being constantly reminded that yes, there are things you can control, and there are many that are bigger than you or me. They're simply out of our hands. Here's one of those things. We can help it. We can kind of shave off the rough edges a little, but it remains true now and always. In the United States of America, the way our system works, although this is very common throughout history, but we're going to focus on us. In the United States of America, the party that is out of power is going to have a level of motivation the party in power does not have. To use a lame sports analogy, you know what one of the hardest things to deal with in sports is? Winning a title of any kind, the Super Bowl, the World Series. Why are repeat champions so rare? Well, you're the champion. I won. Do I have to come in at 5 a.m. for extra time in the weight room? I'm the champion. I'll come in at 8. I want to sleep in breakfast tacos. Then I'll come in. I'm the champion. You know who wants to come in at 5 a.m.? The guy who just freaking lost. He's upset. He didn't get what he wanted. Things aren't going his way. He's going to be in the gym. No, add more weight. It's human nature. We all do this at periods of time in our life. Look, you may do this if you're in the business world, if you have a job of any kind. You get promoted, get a compliment from the boss, things are going well. Hey, boss just patted me on the back, gave me a 10% promotion. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to duck out of here 15 minutes early on Friday and go out with my friends. That's not how you got promoted. The political party that is out of power is always going to have a level of motivation that cannot possibly be matched by the political party that is in power. Doesn't mean it's necessarily inevitable, but on some level it is. We will continue. There's a lot to get to, and I'll get to some specifics about these races. There's so much to talk about tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get to those things, how old is your dog? Let me tell you what's already happening in our house. Ob is already looking at Fred and saying, Jesse, I don't want him to die. He's 5 years old. He's not about to die, at least I don't think. It's possible, I guess. But that's how much they become family, right? And you start to think about the end. We don't have him for very long. What if you could get another year out of your dog? Another healthy year. I'm not talking about laid up in bed. Another healthy year. We sprinkle rough greens on Fred's food because we want that year. It's the number one dog supplement in America because America has found out that there's no nutrition in dog food. You need to sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food so they get vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and all the things you need. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? Go to roughgreens.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. I do have to tell you, sorry, nothing I can do about it. On Friday, again, I'm not going to be here. So tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. All 3 hours belong to you. Email your questions in right now. They're already stacking up. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Ask me anything as we always do on an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, even though I only went to community college. Okay, so I'm going to touch on again what we were discussing going into the break, because there's a lot we have to discuss about last night with the elections, and some of it's going to get hard to hear and dark, and some will make you feel good and some will make you feel worse. Circumstances. There are some circumstances, many circumstances, that are simply bigger than you. They're bigger than me. We don't control them. The out-of-power party in American elections traditionally does better in these kinds of elections. You, maybe the Trump administration hasn't been perfect for you. Shoot, maybe you're not happy at all. But it's a lot better than Biden, right? A lot better than the way things were. At least the border isn't wide open. That creates a level of comfort. So that is something that's outside of your control. It's outside of my control. It's just perfectly natural. That's part of it. Here's another part of it. And this is going to be difficult probably to hear and accept, but this is one of those things that we can't control. During COVID, I know what you're thinking. Please, Jesse, don't start railing against COVID again, but just stay with me for a second. It's going to matter for elections. And it may matter for elections for a very long time. During COVID, the world and the United States went along with this, made the decision that countries should be forcibly shut down for a virus. You should know that this is an insane decision that has really never happened in the history of mankind, because everyone always understood you can't stop everything. You might have to take some steps to mitigate this or mitigate that, but you don't ever stop your economy. You don't ever, ever stop your economy for any reason. it must continue to flow. It has to. But we didn't. You can't undo that now. Neither can I. We stopped it. 15 days to slow the spread, which of course turned into months and months and months. Not only did we stop all that money, all those different parts of our economy, a $20 trillion economy, not only did we stop all those parts of it from moving to and fro, we did two other things. We printed trillions of dollars during this time, and in order to keep money flowing in the economy, because we stopped the private sector from doing it, we massively increased government spending. We printed money. The government then and still is spending at levels equal to World War II. The result of this is this. The economy sucks. Everybody knows it. All the metrics, if you actually read them, they all point to it. Oh, but consumer spending has remained consistent. Nope, read the details. That's rich people. Middle class people aren't spending. Poor people don't have anything to spend. No. But gas prices are down 5 cents. Grocery prices are through the roof. $6 a pound for a burger. $6 a pound for burger. Normal people have been smashed economically because the value of their dollar has plummeted, and now all the prices of everything in your life have gone through the roof, and government hasn't stopped spending a single freaking dime. What does this have to do with elections? Here's what it has to do with elections. You know, one of the main driving issues for people to go vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden last November? They couldn't afford anything because the value of your dollar has gone down 20-25%. But even if he wanted to and could wave a magic wand to get the process going, in 1 year, Donald Trump has not restored the value of the dollar. It's not even possible to do so in 1 year. That's not even a criticism. It has not happened, period. It has not happened. You are just as squeezed now as you were when we had the cadaver named Joe Biden in the White House. And so, once again, people are unhappy economically, and they go out to the polls and they vote out the party in power because they're unhappy economically. And there's a chance this happens every 2 years in the United States of America. As people continue to be angry about their lack of spending power, and maybe this is you, they will go to the polls and they'll say, I'm voting for whoever's not in right now until you make my life more affordable again. And you or I can yell and scream at those people all you want. You don't understand. The Democrats will make it worse. Normies don't want to hear it. Normies don't listen to it. People still don't have money. Spending power is gone. The economy is not good. The stock market is up. AI and data centers are doing well. The other parts of the economy are not. I don't know about you. I'm not in AI. I don't build data centers. Doesn't have anything to do with me. We'll continue next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day, where we took a little bit of a licking last night. I guess that's just kind of the way it goes. We're discussing the ins and outs around that. I just talked briefly about some circumstances, like the value of the dollar, like the political party being out of power, being more motivated than you. Some things are bigger than you or me and out of our hands. Now, I wanted to get those things out of the way. We are not going to stay on those things. So let's talk about things that are in our hands, or at least partially in our hands. Who is responsible for communists winning last night? Who is it? Who's responsible? Well, I think Zoran Mandani actually said it better than I did. He had a victory speech. I know when I got up and spoke to my supporters, I spoke directly to my supporters in a way they would understand and appreciate. Zohran Mamdani, the new mayor of New York City, did the same.
I speak of Yemeni bodega owners and Mexican abuelas, Senegalese taxi drivers and Uzbek nurses, Trinidadian line cooks and Ethiopian aunties. Yes, aunties.
Okay. Abigail Spanberger, the new governor of Virginia. Who's responsible for that? I don't know. Let's go to CNN.
I always vote since I became a citizen, and that was 20 years ago. And I migrated from Kenya originally. My family is back home in Kenya. And how I see how things are going on, like with families being separated, as a human being, as a mother, separating families, especially children, from their mothers or fathers. I don't believe in that. So that made me come out and also come and vote.
Okay. You want to hear some eye-popping stats about who elected Mamdani in New York City? Here's quite a poll. They did some exit polling on it. I was born in New York City. If that describes you, only 38% of those people voted for Mamdani. If it was only people born in New York City, Mamdani gets wiped out at the polls. I don't know. Do you think he knows that?
I speak of Yemeni bodega owners and Mexican abuelas, Senegalese taxi drivers and Uzbek nurses, Trinidadian line cooks and Ethiopian aunties. Yes, aunties.
I wasn't born in New York, but I've been here for more than 10 years. 54% of those people voted for Mamdani. I've only been in New York 5 to 10 years. 79% of those people voted for Mamdani. I've been in New York City for less than 5 years. 85% of those people voted for Mamdani. Why do you think the Biden administration opened the border so quickly? It was day one. And after opening the border, they then, for 4 years, did everything in their power to bring as many foreigners into this country as humanly possible, and not just bring them in, to make sure they spread them all across the United States of America. They didn't just send them to New York City and LA and Seattle, all across the Midwest, large towns, small towns, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, by the million. What are you doing? I don't understand. What are they? Why would they do that? I don't know. Why would they do that?
I always vote since I became a citizen, and that was 20 years ago. And I migrated from Kenya originally. My family is back home in Kenya. And how I see how things are going on, like with families being separated, as a human being, as a mother, separating families, especially children, from their mothers or fathers. I don't believe in that. So that made me come out and also come and vote.
There is a coalition that wants communism for the United States of America. There is a coalition of two major groups. These groups have chosen to join forces, and their interest is to burn your country to ash. One of those groups, foreigners. We've covered it a million times. We will cover it a million other times. Foreigners don't know about your Constitution. They don't care about your Constitution. They don't care about your history. They don't even understand this concept of freedom or free markets or God or any of these other things. What they know is, in politics, you vote for someone and that person hands you things. Transactional and tribal.
transactional and tribal. That's how foreigners grow. That's how foreigners vote. Which begs the question: what is the other part of the coalition? How did we get swept in these elections? This is from NBC Exit Polls. Young women, 81% voted for Mamdani in New York City. 80% voted for Sherrill in New Jersey. 78% voted for Spanberger in Virginia. Young women have joined forces with hostile foreigners to ensure communists get elected in this country and put your country to the torch. The young women part, we can talk about that, and we will talk about that in a moment. I'm not going to avoid that, so don't think I will. Of course, that will be horrific and offensive to a bunch of people, and of course, I don't care. Let's focus on the foreigner aspect of it. The Trump administration and the administrations, hopefully Republican, that come after the Trump administration. The mass deportation of foreigners is everything. Everything. Let me explain it this way. Tomorrow, if you could snap your fingers and send 50 million foreigners out of your country, every part of your country would improve almost overnight, and it would be bordering on impossible for Democrats to ever win a national election ever again. And if you could snap your fingers and bring in 50 million more foreigners into your country, overnight, every part of your country would get worse, and it would be impossible for Republicans to ever win an election ever again. You may, and probably do, have some quibbles with the Trump administration about this or that or foreign policy, and I'm going to get to that. And by the way, I'm going to talk to the Trump administration here in a moment, as we go over these election results and the midterms and things like that. The mass deportation of disloyal foreigners must happen. It must happen without apology. It must happen without hesitation. The days of the GOP working with Democrats. Well, I mean, some can stay here. No. Not a single one can stay here. But what about the women? Gone. Children, just right there behind mom. Gone. Men, women, children, and not just the murderers. We should get the no. Murderers are step one. All of them gone. If you're not an American citizen, gone. And then we'll address some disloyal new citizens who should be denaturalized and deported the second they speak out or work against this country. Gone. You snapped your fingers, 50 million gone tomorrow, your country's saved. You snapped your fingers and brought in 50 million more, your country's over. That's a fact. And every single poll shows that to be the case. And you know who knows it? The communists.
I speak of Yemeni bodega owners and Mexican abuelas. Senegalese taxi drivers and Uzbek nurses. Trinidadian line cooks and Ethiopian aunties. Yes, aunties.
Deport all of them. Millions. Tens of millions. And take your country back. We will continue. In fact, I'm going to address the women portion of that in a moment. Before I address the women portion of that, you ever been in a store buying something? And you had them offer you a credit card. Hey, you save 20% on this today if you get the Best Buy credit card. Maybe you've taken them up on that offer. I want you to picture this. Picture taking them up on that offer and them coming back saying, ooh, sorry, we can't give you a credit card. I don't understand. Everybody gets one of these. Yeah, but your credit score is 550. What? I've always had 700 credit. How did that happen? I don't know, sir. You don't get a credit card or a new fridge today. That happens to people all the time because identity thieves steal their data and take large loans out in their name, and you have no idea. None. Till you try to lease a car, buy a house, get that credit card. Let LifeLock protect you. And if they can't, they'll make you whole again. You want to save up to 40% your first year? LifeLock.com. Promo code Jesse is how you do that. Or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Do not forget to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in for tomorrow. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Of course, that's going to be a good time, like it always is. All 3 hours belong to you. So we address the coalition. The coalition that in places like New York, New Jersey, California, installs communists. The coalition of foreigners, we already covered it. Now, the coalition of younger women. What is happening there? I could sit and read for you stat after stat after stat. 84%. You know what that number is? That's women 18 to 29. That's how much they voted for Mamdani in New York City. Now, how do you explain that when you think about how a guy like that campaigned? How do you explain a guy who gives speeches like this and 19-year-old women love it?
I speak of Yemeni bodega owners and Mexican abuelas, Senegalese taxi drivers and Uzbek nurses, Trinidadian line cooks and Ethiopian aunties. Yes, aunties.
What accounts for that? Okay. So this is a large subject, but it is something that we're gonna try to drill down on just a couple things. How do we save our young women? How do we save them from a life of misery? How do we save them from burning our country down? How do we stop this? What do we do about the Gen Z, the younger women who hate this place, who routinely march to the polls and install communists? Allow me to point to this. I swear on my life, this is the final bit of polls and polling I'm going to read for you tonight. But if you had no high school degree, none, Mamdani got 40% of your vote in New York City last night. If you graduated high school, he only got 39%. Some college, 40%. Working class people of New York City rejected it outright. We're not talking about some union workers here, some construction guys. We're not talking about those line cooks, not the American ones anyway. They wanted no part of this whatsoever. But bachelor's degree, 57%. Advanced degree, 57%. I know we're supposed to live in this society where we pretend like men and women are all the same. Men and women are equal. I can do anything a man can do. Men and women are not equal. They are built differently. It's not that one is superior or one is inferior. They are built differently. A young man, for better or worse, is more inclined to rebel against the norms of society. It's the way young men are. I certainly was like that. And to be frank, I'm sure I probably still have a lot of that flowing through my veins. More rebellious, don't tell me what to do, that way of thinking. Now, that can be wonderful and it can be terrible, don't get me wrong, but it does exist. Young women, it's all women, but this really affects young women more. They have a desire not only to fit in with their peer group, they want to be mothers. Does not mean every woman wants to be a mother or should be a mother. I'm not saying that. You're not a failure if you're not a mother. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that is an instinct that runs through the veins of young women. Historically, 18-year-old women were on their second or third kid. Historically, that everywhere across the globe, when you're 18, you're already married. It's baby making time. Your biological clock works that way. In fact, those are your prime childbearing years. I'm not begging you to get married at 18. Please do make sure you choose the right person. I'm just saying, historically, biologically, that's the way it works. Now, what can happen, not that it always happens, what can happen to young women? You send them away from your home, away from your dinner at night, away from your church on Sunday, away from your influence. You send them away from your home, and they walk on to a communist training camp. I do not say that about the university system because I'm trying to be over the top. That is what so many of these institutions are. They are communist training camps. And your 19-year-old baby girl, I know she has good values now. I know you raised her right. I'm not questioning you and your parenting at all. She's going to get eaten alive on that college campus because it is designed to eat her alive. They are going to take those desires to fit in. They are going to take those desires to be a mother, and they are going to twist it like the devil always does, and they are going to make her the mother of the communist movement. And she will fit in when she does it. Her friends will tell her how wonderful it is. So glad you don't listen to your Republican dad anymore. And she will, like all wonderful mothers do, she will fight tooth and nail for her baby. She will commit acts of violence and encourage acts of violence against anybody who challenges her baby, who threatens her baby. But the problem is her baby isn't a baby. The problem is her baby is the communist revolution. That's why you sent your 18-year-old daughter named Brittany off to college. She was beautiful, brunette, had blue eyes. She was an athlete, played volleyball in high school. And that's why 4 years later, her name's Trina. She weighs 247 pounds. She has a body covered in piercings and tattoos. And she won't come home for Christmas this year because she thinks you're the Antichrist. We are sending our young women to communist training camps, and they are burning down the country because of it. That's a fact. We'll move off of that because we do have to talk about a couple other aspects of last night, and then we'll move on through some fascinating things. Do not discount the influence of corporate America either. Corporate America, the corporate world, has chosen to get involved in culture. Verizon has. You know what Verizon's been doing? Handing out your cell phone information to the FBI so they can send a SWAT team to your house. You don't have to believe me. It's all public information. Now, they couldn't wait to collaborate with the communists against you. But weird, I haven't. Hey, Chris, have you heard Pure Talk come up in any of these conversations? Oh, Pure Talk didn't participate in any of that, huh? Almost sounds like that company's led by a patriot. Probably fought in Vietnam. Oh, yeah, he did. So patriotic, he hires Americans. Switch to Pure Talk. You'll save a fortune. You'll patronize a cell phone company that loves you and your country. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.